Morning, church. Today's scripture reading will be from Psalm 139, verse 1 through 16. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down, and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. You have enclosed me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. For you form my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them.
My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. I don't know about you, but when I read that passage from Psalms, it sends chills down my spine. I really don't like talking about the sanctity of human life, because it reminds me of things that we need to talk about, that human beings shouldn't have to talk about. Mothers should not be killing their children. Fathers should not be abandoning their babies. No human life is worthless, regardless of skin color, of age, of economic status. The very fact that these things must be mentioned shows us the darkness of our times. I pray that someday we won't have to talk about these things. But as of now, that time has not yet come. Abortion is an issue that interests Christians, not because it's political, but because it lies within the very foundation of our biblical beliefs. It's a fundamental issue deciding between right and wrong, between sin and error and life and death. It is a critical issue in our society and in our faith as well, because it goes straight to the heart of God's creative power. It reminds us that God created life. Do we truly believe that life was created by God by the power of God for the glory of God. Do we believe that? And if we believe that, what are we doing about that belief? It wasn't that long ago when abortion was a big issue. It was a big political issue. It divided many times the left from the right, the conservative from the liberals, and we fought about it, and we argued about it, and we wrote about it, and we did all these things, and unfortunately there were bombings and abortion clinics, and people were really up in arms about this particular subject. What's happened? I have to ask myself, when is the last time I thought about babies being killed? When is the last time that I prayed about our society's views on the subject of abortion? You see, we've been bombarded with all these other things. The Satan uses other topics to deflect our minds and our focus off godly things. So we're now so involved in thinking about gay marriage and transgender, LGBT, and now sexual harassment, all these other things that are going on in our society. So abortion, the issue of abortion, has kind of been thrown on the back burner. We don't think about it much, if at all. But we do have places that think about it all the time. Pregnancy Support Center here in Lompoc happens to be one of them. I think, honestly, if God's people were clearer about this message, clearer about the subject and the topic of abortion, then I truly believe society would think about it a little deeper. If we spent more time dealing with the source of the problem instead of the issue. Abortion is not the problem. Abortion is no more, is a byproduct of the problem. The problem is our morality. Therein lies the basics of the problem of abortion. It's estimated, although abortions in the United States have declined slightly over the past few years, about 1.2 million abortions are done in these United States every year, which is about the population of San Diego. And it's frightening to think that it's almost now become an everyday occurrence, a regular thing, something that our society has accepted as normal, when in fact to God it is anything but normal. Genesis 9 and verse 6. Whoever sheds human blood, by human shall their blood be shed. For in the image of God has God made mankind. This passage reminds us how God feels about the sanctity of human life. And to understand how God really feels about human life, we have to understand where life begins and when life begins. On January 22nd, 1973, the Supreme Court of the United States said that a fetus is not a person. That the baby that is formed in the mother's womb is not a person until it could survive outside the mother's womb. That was January 22nd, 1973. That's a long time ago. In response to that ruling, January 13th, 1984, President Ronald Reagan declared January the 22nd to be the National Sanctity of Life Day. And in his proclamation, he said in part, "Since 1973, more than 15 million unborn children have died in legalized abortions. A tragedy of stunning dimensions that stands in sad contrast to our belief that each life is sacred. These children, over tenfold the number of Americans lost in all our nation's wars, will never laugh. They'll never sing. They'll never experience the joy of human love. Nor will they strive to heal the sick or feed the poor or make peace among nations. Abortion has denied them the first and most basic of human rights, and we are infinitely poor for their loss. We are poor not simply for lives not led and for contributions not made, but also for the erosion of our sense of worth and dignity of every individual. To diminish the value of one category of human life is to diminish us all. That wasn't tweeted. That was proclaimed January 13th, 1984, by President Ronald Reagan. When we go to the source, and we look in God's Word to see truly when life begins, God's very clear about that. I want us to read together a passage in Matthew chapter 1. Let's be looking at verses 18 through 25. It's a passage that we've read many, many times. We've talked about it around the table from the pulpit as well. But I think there's something in this passage I want us to focus on that maybe we've just kind of glanced over in the past. So let's look at Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived," remember that word, "what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus. We see very clearly in this passage that God is telling us, that he's reminding us, that life begins at conception. That which is growing in the mother's womb, is it alive or is it dead? Think about it. That which is growing in a mother's womb, is it alive or is it dead? Is it animal or is it mineral? Or is it human? Listen to what the Supreme Court said. The Supreme Court said, "To destroy the egg is to destroy the turtle." Think about that. The Supreme Court ruled, "To destroy the egg is to destroy the turtle." And if you were to destroy the egg of a bald eagle, you would face a $10,000 fine and up to 2 years in prison. Yet, you can abort all the children you want. It's hard to reconcile. It's hard to reconcile that point in our lives. We have to ask ourselves, is that child that's aborted guilty or innocent? It's innocent. And what does God say about taking innocent blood? You see, abortion is a sin against God. It's not just an act. It's a sin against God. But it's easier to hide an abortion than it is to hide a pregnancy. So in our society, abortion has become commonplace. If a pregnancy is inconvenient, it's simple to solve. We just abort. Abortion is a sin against God. So what does alive mean? If life begins at conception, What does our nation, what does the Supreme Court determine life to be? Let me go back. Here we go. The Supreme Court said it is defined by a detectable heartbeat or brainwave activity. That's something that's alive. It's got to have a detectable heartbeat, and it's got to have brainwave activity. A child who is in the mother's womb has a detectable heartbeat at 18 days. She has brain activity after 40 days. After 21 days, the blood of a child is circulating. In the ninth week, the little baby has kidneys that are formed and functioning. In the 16th week, her nose and her lips and her ears are formed, but her eyes have not yet opened. In the 18th week, you can sometimes see her sucking her thumb, and she begins to hear. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever noticed that in your lifetime, when my children were yet to be born, they could hear me. They could sense my voice. I could see them move when I would talk to them. I read to all four of my children. I got a book entitled, We Help Daddy. And that's what I read to them. I wanted them to be ready. And when I held them for the first time, they recognized my voice because they heard it in the womb. The 19th week, her uterus begins to form. At 20 weeks, she is 6 1/3 inches long, and you might begin to feel her move. In the 21st week, she has more activity and can begin to swallow. In the 23rd week, her fingerprints and footprints begin to form, and her tongue begins to develop taste buds. And then, for whatever reason, the mother decides she doesn't want the baby. And the life of this young girl that we have followed for 23 weeks is taken. And it's taken under the guise of abortion. It's not abortion. It's premeditated murder. It's not a clump of tissue. It's a baby. And where is that baby's right to choose? Many people may be confused when life begins, but God is not. God is very clear, God is very specific, that life begins at conception. Well, we know when life begins now, according to God. Who created human life? We know that. God is the creator of human life. And I put all these passages up. I want you to keep your bulletin, keep the outline, because there are going to be some people that talk about this issue this next week as we approach January the 22nd. And as God's people, we don't want to shy away from the subject of abortion. We need to explain to people why we feel the way we do, why God's way is right. And these are some of the passages that we can turn to as we have these kinds of discussions. Man does not have the creative power to begin life, nor has God given man the authority to end life of a conceived child. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27 tell us that very same thing. The turtle that they want to protect the egg, and the bald eagle whose egg they want to protect, neither the turtle nor the eagle was made in the image of God. But that little baby that's being aborted was. God sent His Son to redeem that unborn child. but yet his life is taken, her life is taken from him. Something to think about. As we read in Psalm 139, the presence of God is with that fetus, is with that baby. Have you thought about that before? These stages of growth that we talked about from day number one, from week number one, through week 23, through birth, God is with the baby. And we need to stop thinking about this unborn child as a fetus, because it's not a fetus, it's a baby. It's a living, breathing human being that God has created and continues to knit in the womb. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." Isaiah 49 and verse 1, "Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my mother's womb, he has spoken my name." No matter what translation of the Bible you have, we see very clearly God's presence was there in the formation of this child. God's presence was there each step of the way as growth took place. God's presence was there on the first day of birth and will be there every day thereafter until we leave this earth and are accountable to God. There are so many people who don't believe that they're going to be accountable for these kinds of things. And that's what causes them to make the decisions that they do. Do you think the Supreme Court will be held accountable by God for the decision they made in Roe versus Wade? Judgment will come. God will hold us accountable as a nation, and God will hold us accountable individually for those who support this horrible crime. Luke chapter 1. I want us to think about this. Turn with me, Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 39. Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 39. "At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy.'" So at 6 months, we see that there was a clear expression of joy in the womb of Elizabeth. Why? Why did the baby leap for joy? Because at 6 months, he sensed the presence of a child in the womb of Mary. "For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from the mother's womb." The Holy Spirit only is given to humankind. The baby is human and was given the Holy Spirit by God because a baby is human. When does life begin? At conception. Who is the creator of human life? God is. The third argument we hear when it comes to abortion is this: shouldn't a woman have control over her body? Have you heard that before? Should not a woman have control over her body? And the answer to that is yes. We're all commanded. Men and women alike are commanded to have control The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. We're not only to have control over our bodies, but every thought we're supposed to bring under control. But the rights of everyone stop when what they're doing kills another human being. Proverbs 14 and verse 12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Psalms 127 and verse 3. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is the reward. What is the fruit of the womb? It's a child. It's a baby. The Bible plainly tells us that life begins at conception. Isaiah 49 and verse 15. Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. And that's what's missing. That's what's missing, is compassion. Is compassion for that unborn child. Should a woman have control over her body? Yes. But the unborn child is not her body. Think about that. The unborn child is not her body. Their genetic code is different. They might not even be of the same gender. They might not even have the same blood type. The unborn child is not her body. But it's a new, unique life created by Almighty God. God has plans for that unique life. The birth of a child from a mother's womb is the way God designed life to continue. And He's there from conception all the way through growth, through birth, and through the rest of the life. I want us to think about this as I close this morning. Human life begins at conception. God is the creator of life. The unborn child is not the mother's body. The unborn child belongs from conception to God. It began at conception and was knit together by Almighty God. And Scripture tells us very clearly that a fetus, that a child, is a person from the very beginning. A person made in the image of God, stamped with His likeness, whom He sent His Son to redeem. And when we go against what God has placed in His created order of things, we individually and as a nation will have to pay the price. So this week, as we approach what the nation has set aside as being the National Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, a week from today, I wanted to bring this lesson to you a little earlier because I want us this week to pray about this subject. I want us to think about this subject. I want us to talk about this subject. I want us in our minds to understand the importance of the sanctity of human life and the responsibility that God has given to His people to take that message, to take His love for His creation to those that would sin against Him. God has a plan for every conceived child. And when that child's life is taken from him, the plan of God is taken as well. And we can't continue to let that happen without speaking out. I thank you for your time. I'd like for you, again, to prayerfully consider this as we go through the week. And think to yourself, too, what am I doing? What am I doing about this all-important subject? Am I praying about it? Am I talking about it? Am I thinking about it? Is there anything that I'm not doing that I can do? And let's let God help us in this quest. If you're here this morning, we can help you do anything in your life, whether it be through prayer or just talking to one another. That's
what we're here for.
God has brought us together as His people to help each other as we go through this thing called life here on earth. If you've not yet been baptized into Christ, that's the most important thing you can do. Become His child and live the life He wants you to live. So if we can help you do that in any way, we ask that you come forward as together we stand and sing.